The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond episode 401. That is the thing we're doing right now. This is a podcast about PlayStation games. I am Max Scoville. With me, Marty Sliva.
Thanks for having me, Max.
Sure. Brian Altano. Anytime, Brian. And Andrew Goldfarb.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
This is good. It's the morning.
This is the morning.
This is the morning after Beyond 400.
This is the morning after three of the weirdest episodes that we've done.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The three weirdest episodes. We're flying to Comic-Con tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're doing this show a day late because it was 4th of July weekend this last weekend, and I think yesterday we were kind of low energy. So if the video portion of this is up, it's a little bit late. Apologies. Apparently the summer is a strange time for people who have to go and see things in the world of games.
There's so many events. It's crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't end.
Yeah.
Yep. After Comic-Con, we got Gamescom, we got QuakeCon, we got PAX, all kinds of stuff.
D23Ds.
Yeah, D23.
CornerCon is CornerCon. Number one small pickle convention.
There's CornCon, which is for fans of the hit Freak on the Leash Band.
There's Emma Watcon will be with the world's leading Emma Watson convention.
Is she going to be there?
Is she for the seventh year in a row?
She sends in a video being like, please stop inviting me to this.
There's CONCON, which is about convicts.
Oh, it's not about cons?
No one knows where that is because they're liars. All right. Now, there's a lot of conventions, and we're working all of them, or all of us are somehow working some of them. So.
We're going to fly to Germany together?
Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to have wacky adventure stories from that.
We
do have some stuff to talk about today in the world of PlayStation games and so forth. I feel like it is kind of like we're kind of getting that summer lull, and it's hard to tell if particularly we're just kind of like low energy because we're working a lot, or if it – like – what do we got in terms of games right now? There's Batman, which everyone got super pumped on, and then I feel like we kind of petering out on that, or are we kind of rolling?
I would say most of our audience has probably finished it by now. Very few have probably 100% of it, which is kind of a pain in the ass. We'll talk about that later.
But
it's definitely a big game, and I feel like we talked about it a little bit on Beyond 400. First of all, thank you for everybody who sent us kind words about how fun that was. Mm-hmm. For all the people that came to visit us, we had 497 people in attendance.
Three passed away. We had 500, but three passed away during the podcast.
Actually, three were eaten, which is odd.
Yeah. They were great. They were delicious people.
Thank you again for those human sacrifices on stage.
The problem was we invited 497 cannibals and only three non-cannibals. So thank you to everybody who came out. That was really awesome. But we have to talk about Batman a little bit, but I feel like, and I explained this to some people, doing a kind of in-depth conversation about a game like that doesn't really work in such a live setting. So we got to talk more about the comedy aspects of it and kind of the goofy stuff about Batman, but there is a lot that we love and some stuff that we don't love so much, but we'll get into that later.
Let's unpack some of that in a bit. Andrew, you brought some little news, some quickies.
Yeah, some quickies with Andrew.
I don't know what we want to call is that
little quickies.
Why
don't you step on into the podcast room for a nice series of quickies with Andrew?
So, short sex with Andrew.
I love that's what the Roper Report is. Roper Report turned into News Ghost, and now it's quickies with Andrew.
So, anyone who's listened for a long time probably remembers the Roper Report, which was I love Colin, but it was like 45 minutes long, and it was like 20 stories. We're going to try and keep these to 3 to 5 a week.
It was actually a baker's dozen.
It was a baker's dozen, that's true. I'm going to try and keep these pretty short. I think it's just worth kind of looking at what's happening. Like Max said, news right now is kind of interesting because there are so many events. that we're in that weird period where people are waiting to announce stuff at PAX or announce stuff at Gamescom or whatever.
Yeah, that's why it's nice to have you back, because you're newsy. This is your job.
I try.
This isn't our job.
I try.
Our
to
job
be newsy.
Is just to be dumb and to forget things.
That's right.
Yeah, like this. Brian and I are literally talking to this week.
That's pretty cool.
Can we talk about that?
Can we talk about that?
I don't think so.
Are you guys kind of?
Well, I'll bloop it out.
We're actually talking about this week, yeah. Which is America's favorite national.
I'm gonna bloop it. It's gonna be even more confusing.
That's right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's still pretty
good. So how many do you have today?
I have five.
A baker's dozen!
God, you're the worst.
I gotta keep that alive for a news ghost, Greg Miller.
Yeah, that's true. Please do. Oh, yeah, for anyone who hasn't listened to 400, you should...
Spoilers.
...get the identity of the news ghost.
Yep.
So, one, you know, a perfect example of kind of that lull of lack of announcements. This isn't really a typical, like, press release or announcement story.
Tell us the story.
This week, a gentleman on Reddit claims to have discovered a SNES PlayStation prototype.
But this is a PlayStation podcast! Why are you talking about old Nintendo games?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So, the idea is... For those who don't know...
Like Zoinks!
The
but
origin...
I thought the Sony system of consoles existed in a vacuum separate from all other sorts of console gaming.
What is that voice? That sounds like a Powerpuff Girls anime.
No, it sounds like the animated guy in Community in the episode where they're like doing the space drama trying to use the footage of Chang.
Yeah, that's kind of a deeper cut than my reference. Instantly acceptable.
Marty got it. So basically, the origin of the PlayStation 1 was that it was going to be an add-on to the Super Nintendo, and then the company kind of parted ways.
Because Nintendo was historically impossible to work with back then. And that's actually the reason the PlayStation became what it did, was because cartridges were so expensive. They were upcharging, I think it was $40, they were charging third parties to buy blank cartridges that they would then sell for $60 to $85, which is why you saw such high prices on the N64. And you saw CDs on the PlayStation, which were so much easier and cheaper to manufacture at the time. So, yeah, Sony, that's what I kind of... We talked about this at Beyond 400 a little bit. It's what I kind of love about them is the PlayStation 1 was built out of this kind of scorned relationship. Mm-hmm. Of them being like, you know... I'm going to be single and I'm going to go do crazy things. I'm going to go hook up with third parties at the bar and be sultry. And Nintendo was just like, no, you don't do that. And they went off in different directions. And the N64 started their sort of downward spiral of their system selling worse and worse, which peaked with the Wii and then dipped again with the Wii U. And Sony just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's a really amazing story. But this is the bridge. This is the actual physical thing.
Is real. This is super exciting. Yeah, like no one knows it. It looks very real.
This seems legit. Like this looks like there. We have old images from like an old issue of EGM.
Yeah.
There's like I think old patent records or something. Like people have. This isn't like some kind of like fantasy object that somebody's just kit bashed to make for Reddit.
And he has a video that he showed where it's like it looks pretty legit.
So where did he claim he found it?
So that's the thing. His story is, my dad worked for a company. Apparently one of the guys he used to work with, I think his name was Olaf, used to work at Nintendo. And when my dad's company went bankrupt, my dad found it in a box of junk he was supposed to throw out.
So he doesn't know enough about his dad's old employers. He should really know more about this. But that's Olaf Olafsson, who used to be working for Sony Interactive Entertainment, which is what eventually turned into Sony Computer Entertainment.
Right.
Interesting.
And it basically, he was this, apparently this, like, Olaf Olafsson was like a 35-year-old physicist who had published several novels and was, for whatever reason, working as a businessman with Sony.
Yeah.
And I guess this guy's dad was I think either in, like, either IT or was a janitor or whatever. And he just, like,
stumbled upon this thing.
Basically told at one point, like, hey, we're throwing out a bunch of crap. Go take care of it. And he goes into some room and there's just this crazy prototype sitting there, and he's just like, I'm gonna steal it.
And the interesting thing is, this guy, which happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this guy can't find the power cable, he says, which is weird because it looks like it's just a standard cable. And he also can't identify the cartridge that's in it. But we'll see. I mean, it's a very convenient story. Because those specs are out there and this matches it so closely, people are like, well, it's not like impossible that you could 3D print approximations of it and make it, like, it remains to be seen if this is legit.
It doesn't look cheaply 3D printed.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen 3D printed stuff that looks amazing, but it doesn't have that sort of layer cake look to it or that kind of brushed sandstone.
And this
look
has like the faded coloring, the yellowing that SNES gets.
Which is a really awesome tip off, because anybody who owned a Super Nintendo or a PS1 knew that after 10 or 15 years,
it becomes like urine soaked color.
And different intervals, too.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
The top half is yellow, but the bottom half is gray. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense to to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. I would love if someone can authenticate this. Like, this would be an incredible find. Like, if this is legit, he'll probably sell this on eBay for like $20,000.
Oh, yeah. Or on Team 64 will, like, you know, try to, like, kickstart being able to purchase this.
So, there's a guy we've had on. I want you all to look up his work. There's a guy we've had on the show named Stephen P. Lin that worked for Zynga. I think he still does, right? And he's a huge collector, and he's been collecting old school video game stuff for years. And he was the guy, like, when Nintendo had their world championships at E3 just now, he was tweeting at the guy who won the trophy because he was kind of like, hey, I want that, you know?
Yeah.
He's like a really friendly or really nice Slugworth. And I say that in nice way. Super awesome guy. But he's the kind of guy that I think would be perfect to hunt this down because he would archive it. He would take
Or like Frank Cifaldi or one of those
guys. Totally.
Like,
totally.
So many incredible historians.
The reality is that like this game, whatever's in there, is probably not a finished game.
No.
And it's probably some weird prototype. I think our 10-year-old brains are like, oh, it's probably Mario versus Crash Bandicoot. But it's like nothing like that was ever.
I love it. That's exactly why I was like, what if it's something like that?
Yeah.
Mario versus Crash
Racing.
Even
if it's though.
Just like. Like a weird different 3D Mario.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Even that image of the SNES controller or the Super Famicom controller with PlayStation on
it's
it
so
is
weird.
So
yeah.
weird. It's
well, because
cool
it really, what's fascinating to me is that, like, if you went back in time to that exact point and that you did everything you could to make amends between those companies and you created that hybrid console together and forever in video game history, those two forces joined. You would have a completely different video game universe right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
completely different. And it's like you wonder how big that monopoly would be because Nintendo was originally sort of kicked aback by Sony, and then that kind of gave an entryway for Microsoft to step in. And it also, like, around the same time, that's when we saw the 3DO and the Philips CDI and all
Jaguar,
these.
Yeah.
Everyone and their mother made a console. And they all failed invariably one by one. But then Nintendo N64 went on to sell a lot, and the PS1 went on to sell like four times more than that.
The CDI was Philips, right?
Yeah,
that was the one that Nintendo partnered with. Kind of they were basically double dipping. That was their like
the result of
they
that
were
partnership.
Like, well, we don't need you, Sony. We've got a date to this party.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Such hits as Hotel Mario and what the f*** is wrong with Link's face?
Yeah, the result of that partnership were three of the worst. First party branded Nintendo games ever made. Obviously, like, we had, you know, Wand of Gamelon starting. It was just like this bad Legend of Zelda. But I mean, we almost got like a PlayStation Legend of Zelda. But I like, maybe it would have been Wand of Gamelon. Like,
every time you say that, I'm just hearing Wanda Gamelon.
You're just picturing Wanda Sykes.
This
like,
is my
like
name. It's Wanda Gamelon.
So yeah, this is cool if it's real. We'll see what happens.
Very cool.
Journey PS4 release date has now been confirmed as of this morning, July 21st. This is just a quick one, but it's really exciting to me to see Journey on PS4. I played like 10 seconds of it in D3, but
it's gorgeous.
It looks so good, and like I'm so ready to play it again.
Yeah.
And what's cool is if you bought it on PS3, it's just free.
Yeah,
like,
that's nuts. It's totally nuts.
Well, I mean, when you think about how big PS4 has been, how big the install base is already, and how many people came over from 360, like, there are probably a lot of people who have never played this.
That's true.
And so if you just got a PS4 and didn't own a PS3, like, you absolutely have to play Journey.
You know what's going
to
be really interesting is the wave of people who've had this game just hyped up so much for them.
Sure.
And they maybe don't know what to expect, and they're going to jump in on that. And I feel like we're going to get this kind of deluge of, like, weird sort of apologetic disappointment from people who are like, I've heard so much about this.
Some of you have said it was the game of the generation.
I mean, we almost voted a game of the year here at IGN.
Yeah.
It did win.
No, yeah, Journey did win.
Journey won.
It was neck and neck with Walking Dead season one.
It was like Journey, and then like two votes below was Walking Dead, and like five votes below that was Dishonored.
God, did we get dumped that year or something? Like, I just love that it's like, what are the best games? The one about the scarves and the exploration of yourself, but with secret friendship?
Oh, we got
or the one about sadness and feelings?
We got a ton of
did Call of Duty not come out that year or something?
Call of Duty rarely.
Did Santa skip our house and we didn't get any fun games?
Call of Duty rarely gets in our our rankings for Game of the Year. I mean, it does a lot right in multiplayer and stuff like that. But
Call of Duty 4? Did Modern Warfare 1? Because that was the one that would have, right?
I'm sure I think it got close. No, but I remember the year where it was like Journey and Walking Dead, and we were just like, wow, these two like kind of like indie darlings are neck and neck against Dishonored and all these huge. Was BioShock in there? Infinite?
Infinite was the year after. This was 2012, which was, what were the other games? So 2011 was like Skyrim and Batman and Uncharted
Dark
3
Souls,
and all that. 2012,
those two.
I know Dishonored was in third place. No, Far Cry 3 was December of the year before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Journey is an incredible experience. I don't think it's an amazing game. Like, and I hate saying
that. We've had this before. You are
You can jump, though, idiot.
Yeah,
it's
you
a
can
game.
Chirp.
You can chirp.
You jump and chirp.
If you get all
really
the
you collect stuff and unlock a new outfit, it's a game.
You get
you
the white
robe. You
have
to collect stuff to jump.
You have to collect stuff to get scarf. Yeah. It's called a power up.
You can't jump unless you collect stuff. That's the way. That
Welcome
game.
To video games.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Video
you
games
can't
where
jump
you can...
unless you collect stuff.
It's a Metroidvania.
Every video game has a jump button that you don't have to earn.
But you get better jumps.
Hey. I feel like this is you make this argument like out of spite or out of some weird place. Like you're the last person to ever say a video game needs X, Y, and Z to be a video
no,
game.
No, I don't actually care. But Max is right.
And I love baiting you.
Because like you're right in that a lot of people are gonna play this game for the first time and be like, A, that was 2 hours long, and B, that was kind of like a really gorgeous interactive screensaver where you mostly press up.
That sounds like a Terrence Malick movie, which is perfect.
That's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're like one of those guys that's like, gameplay is key, like it's not for that. Like, you have to go in with those expectations.
But that's why the medium's evolving, right? That's why something like Gone Home or any game that technically you have that is it a game, is it not a game debate. Like, it doesn't matter. It's the experience. It's like what, like,
right,
the emotional resonance of that
I
story.
It.
But I think that is still a game, right? Like, anything interactive that gives you any kind of feeling.
You know why we call it a game, though? Because it's faster to say game than interactive experience.
That's true.
And it's like
it's a lot of syllables.
We're all gonna die pretty soon, so we should probably
how soon?
Every second counts.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's depending on what we do with our bodies.
Hey,
we're flying to a comic book convention tomorrow.
I'm having
don't
a kombucha. Okay,
you're having raw synergy right now.
Yeah, having raw sewage.
Speaking of dying soon, the first details
spoilers.
Of Telltale's Minecraft Story Mode were revealed at Minecon over the weekend. I am not a Minecraft guy at all. This is actually super exciting to me. It's inspired by like 80s movies.
Goonies specifically.
Yeah, and so like a lot of the cast is from the Goonies. Yep. Paul Rubens, which you may know as Pee-wee, is in it.
Yeah, famous Goonies character.
Paul. Yes, exactly.
Also, Weird Man from Blow.
Yeah, and wasn't he Penguin's dad?
He was Penguin's
Batman
dad in Batman Returns.
That's so
right.
Crazy.
He threw that little boy in the river.
And he also did a Gold Farm quickie in a movie theater once. I got in trouble.
Wow. Okay.
It's called a quickie with Andrew, not a Gold Farm quickie.
He was seeing the film A Baker's Dozen.
I like how that was the correction I made, by the way. One thing I think is interesting about this is it is a story in the Minecraft universe. Mm-hmm. Patton Oswalt's the main character. Ashley Johnson seems to be the female lead.
Yep.
But what I like about it is it's not the story of Steve, which is like that Minecraft character you see everywhere. It is just a cool story. They're not calling it the story of Minecraft or anything, which to me is really interesting because I wonder what that means for like if there's a season two of this, does that mean it follows the same character or do they do yet another story somewhere else in the Minecraft universe? I think it's a cool idea to add story to a place that has basically none. Mm-hmm. And I think like that universe is the art style is really cool. I think everything about it looks actually really interesting and very Telltale.
I think it's fascinating that they're adding story to something that I think a lot of like people infer their own story to. Like a lot of children play Minecraft and they go, "This is my house, this is my town, this is my world." You know, it's sort of what the Lego movie did in a way that a bunch of children play with Legos and adults play with Legos. I have Legos. I'm not really an adult, but putting it all together and creating a story out of it, they kind of did that with the Lego movie, and I think it makes sense. So. Where I'm more interested in where this goes is that sort of the Telltale storytelling of branching paths and stuff like that. You know, that's where it starts to get a little more interesting. I think that there's going to be some hesitance from the Minecraft audience that is used to the building aspect. I think that Minecraft is an open world game and Telltale games are sort of like plays
where they're like the opposite of that.
They're
yeah,
the complete
yeah.
opposite. And Telltale games, you can walk to the edge of the stage in every area and be like, this is where it stops. And you don't really have that in Minecraft except for the end of the ocean, you know?
Yeah, I worry if this is just totally missing the point. Like, I mean, I never get into Minecraft, but I kind of get the whole like, hey, it's exploration and creativity and totally like open ended. And
but
like,
I think that's
is...
the idea, right? This is like a Minecraft for you and me. Like, this is like Minecraft for people who don't like Minecraft. I don't think they're expecting the 8-year old kids who have made Minecraft the $1 billion franchise it is to come to this.
Right.
I think they're expecting the people who aren't playing Minecraft to care more about the brand.
So then, why is it a Minecraft game? I guess that's the thing is like I'd be just as keen on playing like a brand. I mean, obviously, like you get something like Minecraft, and that's going to attract a budget and names like Patton Oswalt, and you know,
yeah.
And I don't know. It feels like it's kind of like trying to prove a point rather than. I mean, it might totally blow everybody
the
away.
The reason is
be
because you start off in the lead already. You immediately start off knowing people are going to buy this just because of the name Minecraft.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. It reminds me, it's a much more extreme version of, I think, their relationship with Borderlands. Because Borderlands, it's known for its story, but it's primarily a game where the verb is to pull the trigger to shoot and have numbers come up and continue to get new gear. Whereas that is absolutely not what Tales from the Borderlands is about whatsoever.
Right.
And I'm not a huge Borderlands fan, but I adore Tales from the Borderlands. Mm. And so I think, like, the way I feel about that now, I'm like, all right, I trust you guys with this world. Let's see what happens.
The difference is, though, is there is an established world there. You know, like, there is the Borderlands does have an incredibly fleshed out universe
with a very,
like,
distinct tone and everything. That
so many people I've talked to have been like, yeah, I mean, the game, I'm whatever about the gameplay, but I like the sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I like the universe. I like the characters and stuff. It's like Minecraft. They're kind of starting fresh here, and it's like, that's the thing, is they're going after this very, like, they're going after a bunch of old people. They're being like, oh, it's the Goonies. Yeah, got a bunch of got Pee Wee Herman's in there, and it's like Minecraft 8-year olds. Like, are they gonna? They don't.
So I don't see it that way. I kind of see it as when somebody makes, and Pixar is really good at this, when somebody makes something that works for both children and adults, where a kid is playing it and he's just like, these characters are goofy, and is that Ratatouille? That's really cute. And then you're an adult sitting there going like, man, they're kind of evoking the Goonies here, which is like something that I
and I think
on.
Lego Movie did it well too.
Totally.
Yeah, and
totally.
I think that's
so, well, I remember, like the cool thing about the Lego Movie, did you guys see it in theaters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you notice that there was a great divide in laughter in that movie, where there was a joke for children that was like slapsticky, and there was a joke for an adult that you heard all the deeper laughs in the room.
Totally.
And it was constantly ping-ponging. And I'm like, that's good writing.
Well,
you know?
So yesterday, Ben Kuchera from Polygon wrote this article about playing Telltale games with his kids, which is really interesting because The Walking Dead is obviously like super mature and like there's like awful gore and stuff that happens in that game. I find this really interesting because, like, think of it as like the dad can play it and the kid who loves Minecraft can sit with his dad and watch him play
Steve
it. And there's
can play
nothing
with his kids. Parrot can play this with his
exactly.
Kids.
Yeah, and like also, I think in that way it's really cool that it is part of this brand because it can just be like a nostalgic like 80s themed adventure game, which is like right up a lot of like older people's alley.
Yeah,
but their kids are still gonna love to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's why it's going over my head here, is because I'm 28 years old and I don't have a kid.
You're right.
Like,
in
I am right. And that is a really weird sensation to have as a gamer.
Yeah,
because like, when have they made a game that is for children and for dads, but totally skipping that, like
the key 18 to 35,
right? like that is that is ducking the most obvious the traditional demographic, which is cool.
And that way, it's really cool.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
And that's why I like that. Huh. Like, Telltale is like a million games right now. They announced a Marvel game that's far away. They have their new IP. They still have Game of Thrones. They still have Walking Dead.
Coming.
They still have Borderlands.
Oh,
that Michonne spinoff.
Jeez.
Like, they have Wolf Among Us could get a new season. We don't know.
Game
like
of Thrones,
they
like, yeah,
like
yeah,
there
so
are
much.
A million things going on. What I like about this is that it's not just like replace the art style, now it's Minecraft blocks. Like, I think it does fill a gap that they don't have, and it's exactly that. This is the family-friendly Telltale game, basically, which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they haven't really done since Monkey Island.
And, like, Back to the Future, kind of, like
so
those
what,
things.
So what we do know is that this game was in development with Mojang before the Microsoft deal was in place.
Yes, yeah. And it's coming, obviously, to PlayStation 2, everything.
Which means that Microsoft will they publish it?
No, Telltale will publish. They're licensing the IP to Telltale, but it's fully a Telltale.
Microsoft's name will be in the credits when you play this on.
In this exactly.
Because Microsoft, we know, paid how much was it?
$2 billion.
$2 billion for the Minecraft license, which obviously they're going to start recouping off of,
but it's like
merchandising and all that.
Borderlands
stuff
is no different, though, right? Like, Borderlands is still published by Telltale, just that Gearbox licenses that IP to Telltale. So it's like a Gearbox.
Yeah, but
world,
Gearbox
but
and
still...
Sony aren't mortal enemies in the eyes of.
But it's really interesting you said that, right? So this came from Minecon. That's where this news was announced. And one of the things that was really cool was that there was literally a Microsoft booth at Minecon, but in one of the areas there was a PlayStation area where you could play Minecraft on PS3 and you could play on PlayStation consoles. And I think that sends home the message loud and clear that, like, yes, Microsoft acquired this brand, but it is not going to be, like, it's not going to be that shady, like, 90s, 2000s things where it's like, oh, like, you could play it on PlayStation, but on Xbox you get this much more. Like, no, they're treating it as they should, which is the biggest brand.
I have a feeling on Xbox you'll get this much more.
I honestly don't know that you will. I think that would be a bad move.
The PC version right now, like, they just announced a Windows 10 version. The PC version is the lead version, but it always has been. And, like, Microsoft has always had dominance in, like, because they make the operating system that most people use. Like,
well,
obviously,
there are,
the Windows version.
I mean, I play Minecraft. There's a ton of exclusive stuff on the Xbox 360 version. There's, like, Master Chief skins and a whole bunch of things like that.
Well, sure, but there's also a Sackboy skin that you can only get on PS3. Like, I mean, like, that goes both ways, right? Like, I don't know. I think this might be the one brand that is so big that it transcends that.
I mean,
and it's like, I'm not ruling out Minecraft 2 someday only for Xbox or something, but
that would be
crazy. That would
you be see, well, you see a thing that happened with something that is as big as stuff like this. I mean, Apple did this with Microsoft products where they were right. like, we can bash our heads against trying to make proprietary like Office software, but the standard is always going to be Microsoft Office, so mm-hmm. we might as well just bite the bullet and let that come over to our platform.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even Blu-ray discs, right? Like, yeah. I mean, like, the Xbox One is still using Blu-ray, and it's like, yeah, only a tiny portion goes to Sony, but it's still like a weird crossover thing. Like, I don't know. I think Minecraft, as a brand, Microsoft, because they spent $2 billion on it, isn't short-sighted enough to try and neuter, you know, try and cut away half the audience.
I think they're smart enough to know that they can make more money off of putting it on other platforms.
Exactly.
Because I think that – first of all, we don't know how a Minecraft 2 would even work because it's like Lego 2.
This time it's spheres and they don't stack.
It's a ball pit.
Good you luck, can only kids. Mine, no crafting. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it does have probably the best voice cast ever assembled.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah,
I'm kind of cautiously optimistic for it. Like I said, I definitely played more Minecraft than anybody in this room. I'm really big into it. Although it's one of those things I kind of dip in and out of. But this is different, and I think that if this even sells to 1% of the people that play Minecraft, it will still be the best selling Telltale game.
That's the crazy thing, right? Yeah, I think it. I mean, it remains to be seen. When I see a lot of those trailers for Telltale games, like, you kind of never know.
Yeah.
And obviously, even the best, even like Walking Dead Season 1, which is like probably their most, even among everything else, it might be their most critically acclaimed still. Like, even that had a misstep. I think most people didn't like Episode 4. I think like they've had hit or miss episodes here and there. So it's just like, you never know until the series completes.
I really want them to just be there where, and I'm sure they do too, where it's like they're like, hey, we're interactive comic books basically. Mm-hmm. Or they're like interactive TV shows, you know, like, and it's, we're like, clearly they are massive trendsetters because like Walking Dead did do as well as it did. And it basically blew everyone away. Yeah. And you're seeing other, you know, massive publishers kind of aping that, like, mm-hmm. you know, Life is Strange, stuff like that.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that the episodic format is really, it is such a like a kind of distant goal that everyone's kind of going after, and we're not there yet because the turnaround time, like, they haven't found that kind of balancing point of like, you know, how much content do you put in this? How many moving parts does it have? How do you like stress test or QA test stuff?
I mean,
like,
yeah,
that?
The two main issues holding them back, and a lot of people are experimenting with episodic content now. Like, I mean, they just did it for Revelations 2. Like, Capcom took Resident Evil, which is one of their flagship franchises, and they said, let's split this up into multiple episodes over a couple weeks, you know, to varying results. Mm-hmm. But Telltale's biggest issues are, one, its engine, which I feel is constantly showing its age. It is
especially
something
on PC.
It's
people
something
lose
it,
saves and
on Vita. It was a slideshow to play most of Walking Dead Season 2, and it's something that they put on every single platform. So whatever they build has to stretch from everything from iPhones to PS4s to PCs and everything like that. And number two is that there is no frequency to their episodic content.
That's
like,
the thing. It's
If I start playing Episode 1 of Minecraft, they go, "This is awesome." I go, when's episode 2? And they're like, September. And I'm like, cool. And then it's like, nah, it's in November.
Yeah. And you
like,
made
well,
that point the other
January.
Day. Imagine if HBO like premiere, it's like season 6, Game of Thrones. They play the first episode. And then like
2 months later,
episode 2.
That writer strike season of Lost was like that. Yeah, here's 2 episodes. We're taking a month off. It's
and it kind of show. And you know what sucks is like a lot of people. And I did this with season 2 of Walking Dead. I got so fed up. I said I'll wait until the whole thing's
done.
That's
how I feel about Game of Thrones.
And I'm gonna marathon it.
That's right.
Game of Thrones, I'm not gonna touch that until it's ready.
And that's why I only played the first episode of Wolf Among Us, because there was such a huge gap. It just, I don't know. I think Telltale has a lot to figure out, especially as they get bigger, because they're spreading themselves thinner and thinner the more projects they have. But so far, the quality bar has still been really high.
Yeah. What I think is interesting is that we're seeing this, like, I mean, we do see this with like writer strikes for TV and stuff. I try to follow comics to a certain degree. Like, I read a lot of Image comics because they are, I don't have to pick up 5 issues to figure out one character's doing on like certain superhero stuff. But because Image is like frequently indie or kind of like, you know, more, you know, it'd be like a two-person team or whatever, they will take hiatuses, you know, and I'll be like, oh, I'm going to read Saga, and I'll pick up 3 issues, and then they'll take like a 6-month break, and I will forget what has happened.
Yeah, that's the issue.
And I really wish that, like, and it's the thing is, like, we're at a point where distribution is more, I feel like digital distribution is like more of a stable like platform than, you know, it ever has been or ever anything ever has been. Like, you don't have to mail a pile of comics to a shop someplace. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still trying to do that to keep up with it. But like in the case of Telltale Games, like, the kind of the ecosystem is there. Like the ability to get their yep. content out there
yep.
is stable. It's right there. It's just a matter of getting their stuff ready yeah. on their end.
I mean, you almost want them to like sit on episodes
that's
for a
exactly
little while.
That's exactly yeah. what yeah. So that's what Capcom yeah. did with, yeah. with Resident yeah. Evil, because right. obviously that game was done because they came out, I think, every week.
Right. Yeah.
So and obviously, it's like the Marvel game that got announced, it's like, when are we even going to see that? You know, yeah. it's like, I don't know. It's like we've had this conversation on the podcast already about like announcing games too soon. And yeah. it's just like, wait. It's,
they announced Fables and Walking Dead at the same
and
event.
King's Quest.
And King's Quest, which yeah. never wow. yeah, came out. Yeah. Which is now Activision. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. weird. Yeah. I'm very much like when it comes to TV, I want to be caught up because I want to, like, the day after a Game of Thrones episode, everyone comes in and talks about it, and I want to be able to do that. But when it comes to other things, like you were saying with comics, like, I didn't read Ex Machina or Why the Last Man or Preacher mm-hmm. until they were done.
Yeah. yeah.
And I was just like, I can read all of it now.
Yep. Yeah. I was always big on the kind of trade paperback thing of mm-hmm. just like, oh, you're ready for me? Okay, cool. I can buy the entire thing at once. Yeah.
Or even for, like, Walking Dead, which is still ongoing, you can buy that crazy compendium that's, like, that's the first, like 84 yeah. issues yeah. or whatever, which gives you that whole first, like, series of arcs, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the way I think, like, it just makes more
sense. Fun fact, right around issue, I think it was around early hundreds, around the same time that the TV show started taking off and they announced the game, Robert Kirkman just like checked out for like a few months and was just going off. And he was also like, I think he was in charge of Image at the time or had some high up position, but he just kind of spread himself thin. He had other stuff to do. And it's right. like, that's totally up to him. That's totally his right. But it also really sucks as somebody consuming one kind of thread of mm-hmm. this
right.
universe
yeah.
or something, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think we all agree. Like, I would rather see them finish 5 episodes of Minecraft and release them 1 month after another.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, that'd be amazing cool. to just yeah. be like, and just we could come in and talk about them, you yep. know, like.
And it wouldn't even if it was 2 months or 3 months, whatever it was, if it was just consistent. It would be fine.
That's exactly
like
it.
It doesn't even have to be like, it's not even like they need to come out more often. It's yep. just like, let it,
especially
let
if it feels
me
like,
know.
Hey, the first Tuesday of every other month
exactly.
is coming out. Which
that
is
would
great.
Be great.
Yeah. Because yeah. we're not consuming this stuff in a vacuum. Like, I'm going home and I'm watching 7 other TV shows and 15 movies and yes. reading them. And I come back into work and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what did the wolf guy do at the end of the
exactly. movie? Exactly, and it makes you understand, right? Like, it's like, yeah, the next Avengers movie is like 4 years away or whatever, but it's like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be yeah. caught up and fine, you
right.
know, because
you know
I know it's coming.
You know what yeah. else is worth considering is like, we, you know, we have them doing more mature properties and stuff, but for Minecraft, like, if this is a game that is targeting little kids and they're playing it with their folks or whatever, how are they going to manage to kind of keep their attention? Because like, remember when you're a kid and you mail away for something and it's like, oh, it's going to take like, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and you forget you ordered it and it yeah. shows up and you're like, you're a foot taller and you're like, whoa, I don't, these sunglasses from yeah. Honey Nut Cheerios, they sure are like, I ordered these when I was much younger, you know. Yeah. But like, time is slower when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one of those, I think they really need to like be hitting their
because if you play episode 1 with your dad and then you're like 8 and then episode 2 comes out when you're 13, yeah. like, it's like a very different situation.
A whole 5 year gap.
Yep.
Okay. I did exactly what I said we weren't going to do. We'll try and go through these last two pretty quick. Real quick, Vanishing of Ethan Carter
yeah.
is coming on July 15th. You reviewed the PC version.
I did. I loved it. It's a, for lack of a better term, a walking simulator. It has more sort of puzzle
yeah, he can say
aspects.
That.
Is this the Chinese room?
No, this was the astronauts. Yeah. It's the former People Can Fly. They worked on Gears of War Judgment and Bullet Storm.
Yep.
Please always say it like that. Bullet Storm.
No, it was. I said Bullet, and then I had to think of it. I was like, Bulletborn.
Bullet
Battle Storm.
Bullet Baby? Battle Bullet.
Former People Can Fly sounds like such a sad job title.
So normal people.
We're regular people now.
But it's possibly the most gorgeous game I've ever played.
Wow,
especially on
really?
PC. It is like flat out gorgeous. We haven't seen what the PS4 version looks like. I imagine it's going to be close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a really good story, really good writing. You're sort of a detective trying to solve this boy who went missing. And it has these cool
paranormal
elements.
Because it's in Wisconsin.
It takes place in Wisconsin, but it doesn't really look like Wisconsin. There's like mountains. I was like, I don't remember mountains. I drank a lot recently, but I don't remember mountains.
There was the Wisconsin Mountains. Don't you remember them?
The Wis Mountains.
That's the name of the popular sports team there, the Wisconsin
the
Mountains.
The Mountain Packers.
The rivals with the Colorado Rockies.
but yeah, this is really, you know, everyone, obviously, the
PS4's lineup of exclusives is a little bit slim this year. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things like Journey and God of War and Uncharted, like things we've already played before.
Less than Myriad.
Less than Myriad. What is two less than Myriad?
As Colin would say.
But yeah, this is this game is really great. If you like
2015, games. AKA 2012 HD.
Wait, that sounds like that. Sounds like that awful. What was that Cusack movie? Was that 2012? Remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
That was not a
good fight. He was fighting the giraffes in the hovercraft at the end, and it's just...
Yep.
I don't remember that movie that well.
But yeah, we'll have a full review next week, but check that game out, because it is cool. And it's going to be downloadable. I imagine it's going to be 20... It was $20 on PC, I think.
Yeah,
probably about the same, yeah.
I'm in.
Cool. And then last thing, at Anime Expo this weekend, Inafune announced yet another game. Or Concept, I should say, announced another new game. Once again, spiritual successor to one of their, one of Inafune's classic
brands. He's the Mega Man man.
He is the Mega Man man, who you may know from Mighty No. 9. This weekend, he launched a Kickstarter for Red Ash, the Indelible Legend, which appears to be kind of a spiritual successor to Mega Man Legends.
It doesn't appear to be. It is straight up.
It is straight up, And it's that team.
Yeah,
which is
it's
really
that team.
So is it... I want to clarify something. This is totally like an original concept. This isn't based on anything, though, right?
Well, no.
No,
it's
not
based on Mega Man Legends.
It's like the same way as Mighty No. 9.
Right, no. I mean, yes. I get that. But it's, well, I sort of kind
it's
of like...
It's kind of how Magic Stars are based on Lucky Charms.
No, but okay. Here's the interesting thing. So... It isn't yet, but so in addition to launching the $800,000 Kickstarter for the game, they launched a separate $150,000 Kickstarter for an anime series.
Okay,
set in the same universe.
That's what tripped me up, because I was like, I don't
so it's
know
two,
every anime.
It's
so
two
I was
concurrent
unsure
campaigns,
was...
and they'll do an anime series if that one gets funded.
Right.
That will flesh out this world a little bit.
I'm so tired of big Kickstarters,
Yeah. It's especially a little disappointing because Mighty No. 9 isn't even out yet.
Yeah.
So we don't know. It's coming out soon.
Yeah.
It's coming out
in
a couple months. Everything we've seen so far is cool, but we don't know if it's going to be
it's
great.
It's also weird because the Kickstarter rewards for Mighty No. 9 haven't been delivered yet. Which
hey,
is
but
more
you know what the best
than...
part of being a video gamer is? Announcements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who
loves
announcements?
Yeah.
We got more announcements.
Well, and it's confusing, right? We were talking about this the other day. Like, Inafune, kind of like we were just saying with Telltale, like, he, Mighty No. 9, and then ReCore was announced at E3, which looks really cool.
Yep.
And then now this game. And it's worth noting those are all Concept, which is his company, but
which is
they're
also
not.
The studio that did Soul Sacrifice.
Yes. But they're also not necessarily him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like this is in partnership with a studio 4 Degree C, or 4C, I don't know how you say that. And then Armature is partnering with on ReCore with Concept.
The
retro.
Armature is
former
retro guys.
Prime guys.
They did. They haven't really gotten to flex their muscles a lot. They did
the
Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate for Vita. Yeah, they're
right,
and they've done some ports and stuff, but they're not. I mean, I think that's their first big original world to my knowledge.
It's got to be. I feel like there are tons of studios out there that are just full of really talented people with really cool ideas,
mm-hmm.
and for whatever reason, there's just been something in the way of them.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's paying the bills. That's what's usually in the way.
No, Arkham Origins Blackgate did that reviewed horribly. What was a really cool idea?
No,
that
it reviewed decently.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah,
it was like fives.
Okay. It was it was kind of like a dupe. It wasn't what people. It wasn't what Arkham fans wanted, and it wasn't what Metroidvania fans wanted. It was neither a good version of those things.
Yeah. I remember when they announced it, we were all
freaking
out.
And our heads were oh, this is going to be a Metroidvania. This is going to be like Mark of the Ninja, but you're back.
It's a great idea on paper. Really great idea on paper. Just playing it wasn't very fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't too pretty. ReCore looks really interesting, but it's also an Xbox exclusive, so, I mean, you can go off on this podcast.
Toilet flush noise.
I'm kidding. No, it's also
literally one episode ago in the timeline is Marty being like, oh, I ended the console wars.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think that Inafune is kind of in that Miyamoto-esque mentor thing now where he can kind of just walk in and flip over the tea table type of thing.
He just draws a robot dog on something and everyone's like, what's that? And he's like, I don't know. And they just pay him a check. Yeah. And he's hey, Rico.
So that being said, the thing we're glossing over is, I don't know if you guys have played Mega Man Legends, but I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Great.
I think
it's awesome.
I think it's probably the closest thing on the PS1 to an Ocarina of Time-esque game. It's it's more RPG-ish than that, but I think it worked a lot better than a lot of classic 8-bit games did in their jump to 3D.
Yeah.
It's worked a lot better than any Castlevania game ever has.
So I agree, and it's why I'm curious to see.
Oh, that's for sure.
The problem is, I look at these characters in this world, and at least this is totally just me, subjective, but I am just not interested immediately.
Really?
Those designs. I
love them.
It is so early that, I want to see more, but...
Yeah, they should have definitely kept this kind of pitch in the oven longer, I think, because they have a really sketchy animatic for this, and they're here's what it's sort of going to look like, kind of, and it's Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting, too, like how much are they able to pull from the failed Mega Man Legends 3 3DS game?
Yeah, because that got killed completely.
Oh, that's
that got
killed.
That was the one with that weird trailer. It was like the, wasn't that the weird like live action trailer?
Yeah,
with
that's right. Stuff, they were making that, and they started re-promoting all the old Mega Man games at the same time. Yeah. That was back when Mega Man still had a chance.
That was back when somebody at Capcom was just like, let's piss off some fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that like 2009
to 2010?
No, I was in the industry. Yeah, I mean, I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical about this because Mighty No. 9 was a really gorgeous game a year ago, and sort of mid development, it completely switched art direction, and that was kind of a bait and switch for everybody who backed the Kickstarter.
Yeah,
and
they went from like animated to like
And ReCore is something that we've seen an animated trailer for something that I believe will probably be a 2D side scrolling game. Like,
I don't think so.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's going to be like a 2.5D side-scrolling game.
Oh. Did we see it at E3? I thought
The trailer was
during the press conference, but there were appointments, weren't there?
We saw a trailer. I don't know. I don't think it was. We don't even know what kind of game it is.
Yeah, we don't know anything about it.
It's a ReCore. Yeah. It's where you go record.
How are you going to record something in 2.5 dimensions? Nobody knows what that means.
Easily.
You got to get the core. No, you got to get in there.
You got to take the core. You put it in another robot.
You can't
and
do
you
it from the front or the side. You got to do it all around.
Any way you want.
You got the cores are round.
Stop it.
There's so many dimensions on a sphere.
So yeah, we'll see.
But there are no dimensions on a sphere.
Back another Kickstarter for another game that isn't real thing yet.
Played in 3 years. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of want to just start. I want to dust off my like fifth grade drawings of video game ideas and just be like, yeah, this one's about a guy with a hoverboard. Give me money.
Yeah.
Here's my my game is
Shenmue 4. Yeah.
You gotta make a real game first, and then your company has to tell you that you can't make a sequel to the next game, and then you go, well, we'll make our own, and then you change everything about it, and you give it a new dollar store name. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much what they do.
Well, that was Quickies with Andrew. 40 minutes worth of Quickies
with
Andrew.
Wow, you lasted a long time today, Andrew.
I lasted literally to the minute the exact amount of time I said we weren't going to take.
45 minutes?
Yeah.
A lot of people would be happy with 45 minutes with Andrew Goldfarb.
Well.
I'm sick.
Are you blushing? Are you blushing?
You are really
funny.
Red. Oh, look at you. Look at you, little guy.
All right.
I'm so glad you're back.
I know, so
you're happy to be here. Strange little man.
Those big old cheeks.
Look at those rosy cheeks, you little boy. You're so happy.
Guys, you're the worst.
Little red little boy.
I'm a boss here now.
that is true. You just sort of outrank.
You are a boss. You are not my
outrank,
boss.
Let's talk about Bagman.
I don't know if you outrank me.
Bagman.
Bagman, Arkham Knight. Most people are finishing it. If they are, I will not get into any spoilers, but there are a couple endings for this game.
Batman has a car.
He does have a car.
It's a big old car.
It's a tank. It's a huge... It's there a lot. It really makes itself known that it's
It looks like
game.
Your stepbrother's CD player from the 90s. It's scary.
I'm very... It's, yeah, right? It looks
has
like...
Has the word Iowa on the side.
No, it does kind of look like if you stack all the Sega systems. And it kind of controls like that, too. So I think a lot of people have been asking for the Batmobile for a very long time. Mm-hmm. We finally got it, and some would say they kind of put too much of it in there. I'm kind of mixed on it. I think it's fine. Like, it's not bad. It's not great. It sort of just exists. My issue with it is that there are almost no boss fights in Arkham Knight, and the ones that do exist, which are with people who should be, awesome opponents for you in hand-to-hand combat, which is something that the whole game cruxes around, turn into these Mario Kart battle mode levels where you're basically just driving around shooting turtle shells at each other.
Which is so frustrating.
It's like, so weird.
I haven't played this like almost at all. I played a little or I watched a little at Marty's and I played like the E3 demo a year ago, but it's like as someone who loved Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, like I just moved in. I'm finally about to get a TV and internet and I'll finally play this, but it's like hearing that is so disappointing to me.
Well, you guys played Arkham Origins, right?
Yeah, I played up to like the ninth time you're on the bridge and I gave
so
up.
So Origins had those kind of amazing, like they were almost like Tekken style fights where you would go up against an opponent in this kind of arena and it was one-on-one and every now and then they'd throw some other enemies in there. But it was hand-to-hand combat and it felt kind of punch-outy in that you had to like learn patterns and figure out weaknesses and stuff like that. All of that is gone in this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you fight, droves of enemies like usual, but they're just the kind of generic henchmen guys.
I was really disappointed by the fact that, like, I'm kind of getting through it, and I'm realizing that, given how much time I put into it, I probably should have fought a boss by now. And I mean, Dan Stapleton put it, he was saying that, like, the previous games they had boss fights that were sort of cool. Some of them were really good. and then some of them were kind of dumb.
Yeah,
yeah. Like the end of Arkham Asylum. That's the only bad part of that game.
Well, when
is
Joker
the, is the
becomes
end boss.
Like Super
the
Joker.
Titan right. fights. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
I wasn't actually wild about the Killer Croc fight.
I hated that.
Oh yeah, when you're running. That's right. When you're running like towards
the
camera.
Yeah, the Mr. Freeze fight. Super cool.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the Poison Ivy fight was also pretty cool. Like, there's some cool stuff.
I mean, there's some good, and it's also like it's a big part of. Like, what keeps Batman from just being like this weird, just this kind of bully, you know? Like, the fact that he's going up against people who are kind of his equals, and in this one, you're just fighting like you're just fighting some soldiers, you know,
like angry henchmen. Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is it kind of failed on the promise of what made Arkham Knight exciting to me, which is that at last year's E3, they talked about how like the Batmobile is just part of your arsenal, and it's like in the same way you would use explosive gel or the Batarang or anything else, this is a new tool in your tool belt. And just that Ace Chemicals level they showed, I was like, yeah, that seems awesome. Like, I can call my Batmobile when I want to, but I can be Batman on foot when I want to. It seems great. But now hearing more about the final game, it seems like it's basically, like, required for, like, gigantic sections.
Absolutely.
And that's disappointing.
And actually, specifically, the second half of the game becomes way more Bat-Tank oriented, which is kind of disappointing. There was moments where I did enjoy it, where I'm like, there's these kind of bases that you have to take over all throughout the city, which I love. It was very... evoked a lot of like Far Cry for me, of just sort of being like, here's these towers and here's these areas that you can't, you have to take over. And I went into one and I died 25 times in a row. And then I was able to lower a bridge to bring my Batmobile over to that area. And I noticed there was one of those like things on the front that you could latch on to with the Batmobile, rip off the wall, and all of a sudden just gun down everybody inside there with rubber bullets so
they
don't
die. Fine. Don't worry about
they're
it.
They're okay.
They're in the hospital.
But and then I was able to finish that section in 10 seconds as opposed to like sneaking around for hours. But there's other times, and luckily it only happens once, but they actually have you do platforming with the Batmobile. Mm-hmm. Which is like jumping
rough.
Off a ramp onto a roof to pull down something to drive on this narrow path. I think it only happened once in the game, but there's a couple other times where they're just like, you need to use the Batmobile. You need to use the Batmobile.
Yeah. Also, there are those chase scenes. It's such a, like, so the Batmobile is awesome. Like, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
The way it's implemented, I think, is just really, is kind of like they didn't follow through with it.
Right, right.
Like, it's, I remember them, they said that, like, they spent obviously a ton of time making it feel good and work well. And it's like, well, if you're going to have one drivable car in a game, it better control well.
Right.
The problem is they also put so much time into destructible environments everywhere, and you can run over literally anything, it'll blow up into particles, and it's really cool.
There was these pillars in the front of the Chinatown area in the game that I've wrecked 1,000 times, and every time you go back, they're rebuilt because late night construction crews are working tirelessly.
Video game.
But
video
I mean, there is some awesome stuff. I want to give it some credit. Like, when you're standing on a roof and you hit L1 and you look down at the street, and your Batmobile comes in, and
that's so cool,
and it's making that,
and it's kicking up all the leaves.
And it's got like that dub. That machine dying down dubstep noise, and you jump into it and take off. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
There are some high-speed pursuit areas in that game where you're going 100 miles an hour in a Batmobile, and you're like, this looks incredible, you know?
Have you gotten to the part, though, where you drive off a bridge while you're chasing somebody?
Yeah.
And you're just like, what? Well, I'm in a sewer? I gotta go. I got lost.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Your OnStar or MapQuest or whatever is just like.
So yeah, I mean, like,
take your next
lap. It's weird watching, stepping back and looking at the franchise because of that, right? Because in the first game came to a time when we were like, oh my god, there's an incredible Batman game, right? Like, it wasn't some dumb license thing. It was like received really well, and everyone was like, man, imagine if we went to Gotham City,
right?
And then Arkham City wasn't quite that, but it's like you got to be out. It was open world, and you got to do more. And people are like, man, like, imagine if you could drive the Batmobile, because you see it in cutscenes, and I think Arkham Asylum, but you don't get to do it. And then this game delivered on that promise, but it did it in a way that I think it was like,
it was
be careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
kind of.
I mean, it would have been great if this would have been used sparingly. If five times in the game, there were Batmobile missions.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then where it was like every couple hours, like, man, I really want another, and then you get it. And, you're like,
and
oh,
we just
awesome.
Talked about this yesterday. Imagine if it was like Dishonored. Like, Dishonored, you go and you can either do like low chaos or high chaos. You either kill people or you don't. And like the it branches out from there. Imagine if in this game, whether it had branching narratives or not, if every mission there was a way to do it on foot or in the Batmobile.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I feel like that all people want are options, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think there are probably people who love the tank and love doing it that way. But like, why would you betray the entire gameplay style of the first two and technically three games? Like, it just seems weird to require.
So, that's all absolutely true. And I completely agree with you. I think that, like, traversing the city in the Batmobile is probably just as fun as it is to whip around on, you know, your magical ropes at the top.
I love the ropes.
Yeah.
I like to glide with ropes. I like the super rope and the regular
and
rope
and
as
I will
well.
Say
listening
this,
to you guys talk about a very different rope conversation this morning.
That's right. I will say this. The playing with the the Adam West skin on is hilarious.
I'm so jealous.
I suggest, so weird.
I suggest everybody do that if they
can. Or the weird anime one.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is great. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, the anime one's really scary.
I really just want to be a like, everything in that game is made of carbon fiber and cardboard boxes and blood and rust.
Did you see the Batman Beyond comparison? They compared, like, the cartoon version to, like, the super jacked up, like, crazy
version. That is one of the ugliest, most abrasively stupid-looking things I've ever seen in a video game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's scan.
Destin put together a video that's every
like
single
Bruce
one.
Bruce Timm should go over to Rocksteady and slap someone in the face for that. That is an affront to art direction.
That really skin was actually the movie that Pee Wee Herman was seeing when he was doing
Oh my God.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry.
Watch the video of all the skins because 80% of them are terrible.
Let me get into my main issue with this game. And this is something that I feel like everyone should be complaining about, but they're kind of getting a free pass on. And that is, you can finish Arkham Knight, but when you do and you get an ending, and to be fair, like, the ending sequence that you get from finishing the game is ridiculous and awesome and crazy, completely insane, just like really kind of like one of the most comic book things I've ever seen in a video game. You're like, how did you do this? But once you do that, you're kicked back into the main world, and they basically say, to get the best ending in this game, you have to collect every single Riddler trophy, of which there are 243 of them. Most of them are not fun. Some of them are great, but it's one of the most grindy things to actually kick somebody out into doing. So most people just did what I did, which is go on YouTube and watch the ending, because I'm like, you know, I like to be completionist in open world games, but this is where I had to draw the line. And I think it's a really big issue, so I hope we never see anything like that again from them or from any other video game.
Not,
it's
like,
kind of a pain in the ass.
There are lots of, like, true endings. It's like a huge JRPG thing, right? Like, in Persona 4 or whatever, like, to get... There's literally a 30-minute epilogue that's hidden behind if you do a second playthrough and get the true ending and be the real boss and blah, blah, blah.
I think it's kind of obnoxious that they tell you that's how you do it.
Yeah. That's the thing, and that's my thing, too. Like, it's usually, like... an epilogue or a cool Easter egg or like an ambiguous tease for something. Like, if this is actually part of the core story, that seems really weird to me. Like, if you have to actually do it.
Well, because you find yourself like, and I know Batman's a ridiculous character, and I think that's like kind of why I both love and hate the fact that we have so much Batman now, is that like, Batman is amazing because when he doesn't overstay his welcome. When you are playing with him for 25 hours, it starts to get a little tedious and ridiculous that this gruff asshole is calling all his friends and just being like, do me favors, I need your help. And he never says thank you or
hey,
anything
Batman,
like that.
Hey, Batman, it's Tim. Do you want help with something? Leave me alone,
Robin.
I'm killing people with my car.
Damn it, Robin. Got to change my phone number.
I like the idea of Batman as really awful Roman Bellic, just like calling his brother.
Yeah. No,
dude,
totally.
I hate how much he's just, dude, maybe get off Skype for a minute. Just stop. Yeah. Stop FaceTiming everyone you know.
Oh my God, it is nonstop in that game.
Like, this is what it, like, you said the most astute thing about this, and it's just that it feels like a Batman game for millennials.
Yeah.
Just people who are I don't mean
constantly
to be sounding
like
the oldest man in the world, because technically I am also a millennial.
Ooh,
but
I got
like,
a tweet, I got a Facebook message, I got a new Instagram.
I'm gonna
follower.
Add this to my Snapchat story. Yeah. Like, I got a new like on Instagram, I better go see who it is. Oh, it's the Riddler.
Like, can you maybe just sit and be Batman for a minute? Is that okay? Can it just be quiet in your own head for 5 minutes? You need a phone call from Lucius and the Riddler and Alfred and Robin and Catwoman.
Can you just fight a crime?
He's a dude who watched his parents get killed when he was a kid.
Oh, that means he's got to be on the phone all the time?
Yeah. Social media is great if you feel lonely.
Yeah.
I never heard that about orphans on social media. Forget it.
I didn't read that. Was Dickens never wrote about
that? So anyway, I hope that the next Arkham game is way more intimate and goes back to something like Arkham Asylum. Like,
hold on, we got an email.
Okay, Beyond.
What would you like to see? Sorry, this is from our Canadian buddy Klein, who says, "I have a question that has been haunting me, like the News Ghost himself. Here it is." With the release of Batman Arkham Knight and the conclusion of Rockstar's Batman trilogy, what would you like to see them tackle next? A new IP, another licensed franchise? For me, I would like to see them take what they've done with Batman and pretty much copy and paste it into the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles universe.
Well, have fun with all those pizza truck missions.
Our Canadian buddy Klein.
Klein, our Canadian buddy. We have heard about the Ninja Turtles game for years as a rumor.
Well, Activision has the IP, right?
Right. Yeah. So I don't
Their
know
name
if
is Rocksteady. I hope it's a solo game about Rocksteady.
How we made Bebop.
The love story.
Yeah, I think I would love to see them not do Batman. And not that I don't want more Arkham games eventually, but like, give it a year off. Like, let Rocksteady tackle a new IP. Or even if they want to stay within this world, do like people say, like the Justice League game or whatever it is. But like, let them branch out.
Yeah.
It's almost like that weird thing where like Killzone went on for so long, and then we saw what they did with Horizon. And it's like, the opposite color palette. It's like so different.
Yeah.
I would love to see them do a bright colored superhero game.
I wanted them to make a Superman Harry Potter game.
Yeah, or Harry Potter game.
They have the WB license.
We were talking about this. I think that there was a rumor for a while that they were going to be doing a Silver Age Batman game.
Right. There was that steampunk thing that we saw.
Yeah, Silver Age. That was Gotham by Gaslight, which is different. But Silver Age would be like, for people not comic friendly, whatever, that's like basically the dumbest period of comic books. Like, that is, Golden Age is like the 30s and 40s. Silver Age is like 60s and 70s. And basically when there'd be weird stuff like Rainbow Batman or Superman had a dog or like Superman puts a lead box on Lois Lane's head because he doesn't want to read her mind, or it didn't make any sense. It was all like this really ridiculous stuff. And the thing is they spend so much time making this incredibly realistic world, but it still has all of these totally silly video game tropes. I would love it if they used Silver Age logic to actually explain every bit of ludonarrative dissonance, but with just the worst kind of like just dumb Silver Age Deus Ex Machina stuff.
Yeah.
You're just like, he had to go back to his home planet. We brought them back to life with crystals. That's how we did it.
I would love that because, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Batman games are so kind of like aggro, and I don't mean that really in a negative way. I think that sort of fits the tone. Again, he's an orphan and he fights clowns. But a lot of them in this game, there's so much clowns. But I would love to see them do something a little more lighthearted, you know, or at least palette-wise, like go with the Batman Animated Series palette, which is a very dark show.
Yeah,
but
that'd be cool.
That sort of like very clean kind of paper-cut texture.
Well, and that's a DC problem in general now, right? Like the whole idea, like during the Nolan era of Batman, it's like, it became very grounded and very serious and very dark. And it's like you see the Batman vs. Superman trailer, you saw Zack Snyder's Superman a couple years ago, it's like they're all dark now.
Yeah.
And no matter what, it's all dark and gritty. And like that works for Batman, but it doesn't work for like the 30 other heroes in the DC universe. So.
Yeah, the reality is if they don't make the next Batman game, someone's going to have to because it's a billion-dollar money-printing IP.
Of course,
and, you know, if it's – who worked on Origins?
Montreal. Yeah.
So what I really want to see from Rocksteady, if they do make another Batman game, is I kind of miss the kind of Metroid Prime intimacy of the first game, of being like, this is an isolated area. And again, they've gone so open world that it's going to be really impossible and jarring to go back. But I like the, like, here's one area – and you just one just building or some.
What if you just get lost in your house?
Yeah, you get lost. Like,
just like
get,
gone home, but calling Batman.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome. No, but I liked all the fact that there were like tunnels and areas that you had to unlock through mechanisms that you earned through boss fights and stuff like that and upgrades. Like, it made more sense than like you got a few upgrades in Arkham Knight, but I never really felt like, oh, wow, the whole world.
Did you die 25 times? Try killing them with your car.
I haven't done Arkham Knight yet, but yeah, like in hindsight, it does look like Arkham Asylum is pretty much the best one, or at least the tightest of the experiences.
And I miss that, you know.
Like, I really like Arkham City, but feels like sometimes too much freedom is a bad thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I think like that first game really strikes that balance where it feels like a really big world, but you are kind of locked in, and you do have to wait to unlock.
It's like the difference between Die Hard and Die Hard with a Vengeance, which I think are both awesome movies. Sorry. But the first one takes place in one isolated building, right?
Yeah.
And so much gets done in that.
Perfect.
And the third one is basically, let's take all five boroughs of New York City and just go crazy. Yeah. It's not awful.
We've had this fight a million times.
You don't like Die Hard with a Vengeance?
It's better Die Hard 2. It's not. It is a great movie. I like it quite a bit. It is nowhere near Die Hard 1.
It was originally not a Die Hard movie.
Of course.
They put
it was Simon Says or whatever. Yeah.
Simon
Says movie?
It was called Simon Says. First Die Hard movie that was written as a Die Hard movie was, I think, Die Hard 4.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. No, it was Die Hard 5. Because 4 was some. Anyway.
Yeah.
Basically, they were
like spec scripts that were for action movies, and somebody was like, well, let's put John McClane in this.
Yeah. Especially Die Hard 2 was like. Barely like it, like.
But I love that. Like, I would love like you drop Batman on the first floor of a corporate building that's 60 stories tall, and it's like it created by a.
It's like Judge Dredd or the Raid.
It's Judge
Dredd.
He needs things to get through each floor and kill everybody.
Oh, God. And like
everybody.
Each floor could be zoned off by like this is like Two-Face's territory. This is like Joker's territory, and like they're fighting amongst themselves.
That'd be awesome
as they're going
if
up.
There was this like
you know
villain
really
tower
cool?
in Gotham City.
Well, the only hero would work really well for that would be Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Green Arrow game.
Isn't that what Supermax
be...
was? That original, long before Arrow, there was that concept for a movie called Supermax, which was basically like the maximum security prison of supervillains. They all get out. And Green Arrow basically is like, oh no, it's Superman's day off, so I guess I got to do this myself.
Yeah.
I think they're, yeah, that would be incredible.
Oracle, I need the arrow.
I mean, it would basically be the new Tomb Raider. You know, you'd be like, you start out on an island, and you're like, oh no, I'm a billionaire with a bow and arrow. I got to fight some guys.
Yeah.
God, that would be cool.
These pot farmers are up to no good.
Batman game where he gets off on every floor and it's just like, ding. Have you seen Barbara? Ding. Have you seen Barbara? All right.
Should we
wrap up?
Should we wrap it up?
Before
we go, let's pimp the. I want to pimp the No Man's Sky stuff that's going on.
Yeah, right.
I had a bunch of questions. I will read them next week. Thank you so much. In the Podcast Beyond Facebook group, I asked you for questions for a little segment called Rapid Fire, but Andrew stayed too long in the sheets today.
Yeah.
In the bedtime zone.
Yeah, we'll try and.
The bang box.
We're early on in the life of the news thing here. We'll keep it short.
And this is very bad.
All right. Jesus Christ. But yeah, our IGN first for July, if you haven't seen it yet, is No Man's Sky, which is quite incredible. We debuted on Monday with 18 minutes of footage with some commentary by Ryan McCaffrey and Sean Murray of Hello Games.
Yep.
The footage is awesome. It's like the longest look we have at the game. You sort of realize like certain things like, oh, there's a wanted system on planets. And if you start messing everything up, all of a sudden space cops are going to come after you. And I'm like, oh, okay. I understand this game a little bit more now. Like,
I understand the moment to moment now, which is all I've wanted.
Yeah.
So yeah, watching that footage is like, it really is worth trying to watch it uninterrupted, like that's the title of the video, but I try and watch it for 18 minutes and get it more. Yeah, I think that was really cool, and the thing today is actually really interesting.
Yeah, Mitch has his piece sort of on how like
How to leave your mark on the universe.
Yeah. And we're gonna have cool stuff going up all month. Interviews with Sean Murray about his inspirations, more gameplay stuff, how more systems work, a studio visit.
Cool
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That game looks nuts.
Nomansky.
Norman's Sky.
Norman's Sky.
All man's
Sky.
Yeah, there we go. That's the one. All right. On that note, if you'd like to use hashtags to make friends on the computer, you can find us all on Twitter.com. I'm Max Scoville. Marty is McBiggity. That's how do you spell that stupid
with
name?
Two G's and two T's.
All right. Brian is Agent Bizzle.
That's right.
And Andrew is Garfep.
That's right.
Oh, Mondays. Beyond!
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 Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.